Let us pray. Almighty God, who has blessed our coming in, bless our going forth, that we may journey with thee through Christ our Lord.
Let us pray. Holy Father, we are keenly aware of the day and the hour and the need in which we live. Grant to us this morning the setting aside of these cares. Give to us, Lord, acceptable worship, that in worshiping here today we might become aware of your presence and the reality of your Spirit upon our lives. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Our scripture lesson this morning is taken from the book of Genesis, the first chapter, verses 26 through 28. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God made man after his image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." I think that you're someone special. These are words that we usually reserve only for people that we have some intimate relationship with. Those of us who are married have probably said them at one time or another, in one form or another, to our marriage partners. Whenever I think of people falling in love, I'm reminded of a story that my grandfather used to tell me, and he swore to its truthfulness, that when he was courting my grandmother, he went by to pick her up one day in his surrey and ask her if she wouldn't like to ride out to the lake. And so they rode this surrey to the lake, in which there were two horses. And when they got out there, the sun was shining and the wind was blowing ever so lightly. And they pulled up under this shade tree, and my grandfather said, "Would you like to stop and watch the water?" My grandmother said, "I don't care." So he pulled on the reins and stopped the horses. And inevitably, when you have two horses together like that, they'll touch noses. And when that horse touched the other one's nose, my grandfather looked at my grandmother, and he turned red, and she turned red, and he said, "Can I do that?" And she said, "Go ahead, it's your horse." From that relationship, they grew into a relationship in which they could say to each other, "I think that you're someone special." I truly believe this morning that each and every person here in the chapel today is a unique and special individual. Our scripture lesson, taken from the book of Genesis, leaves us with many, many unanswered questions. We find that biblical scholars have debated long and hard for many, many years whether man was created out of clay, whether he evolved, what the scripture writer was trying to tell us. I'm not so concerned this morning that we get a completely accurate textual exegesis, so much as I am that we get the intent of the writer. For I believe the writer of Genesis was trying to say to you and to me that we are special people, that God thought enough of his creation to give it his individualized personalized attention. Very often, people are afraid to get close to each other and to develop a relationship of specialness because they're afraid of being hurt. They're afraid that someone will find out some inner secret of weakness that they possess. They might find that they are worried about what other people will think about them if they really discover all of the intricate secrets of their life. And there are many people in life who push others away, not accepting their own uniqueness, nor anyone else's. I believe that the Christian gospel is that God loves us and cares for us and thinks that we are someone special. What's the basis for this thesis that I hold of the specialty of you? I believe, first of all, you're special because you are unique. You are an individualized creation. Oh, to be sure, we have many things in common. Some of us are handsome, and some of us are pretty, and some of us are tall, and some of us are short, and some of us are fat, and some of us are lean. And we have a great deal in common. But when you boil it down to its finest part, there are no two people exactly alike on the face of the earth. As a small boy in Ohio, I remember well those first snowfalls, and with keen anticipation, we looked for it. Not so much for the beauty, but perhaps it would be a heavy snowfall, and we would get snowed out of school. And I remember sitting in school one day, the first snowfall of the year, and my teacher had placed on the windowsill of our classroom a piece of black velvet, and it had been outside that window for several hours and was getting cold. And then that magic moment arrived when the snowflakes began to fall for the first time of the year. It wasn't long, and there were a few of those little flakes on that black velvet. And our teacher told us, "Very quickly, children, put your coats on and come outside." And I remember we hassled and got our coats on and ran outside. And there she took a magnifying glass, and for the first time in my life, I discovered there were no two snowflakes exactly alike. And I remember how under close examination, the intricate pattern of that white blob came to life. And so I discovered the blessedness of uniqueness. I believe that so if you and I were placed under a microscope and all of the intricate patterns of our lives could be unveiled, we would find that no two of us are alike. We all have a special function. This seminary has been created primarily to prepare, quote, ministers, unquote, of the gospel. But even in those ministries, we are unique and individual. Our talents and our abilities and our potentials all have a special function in God's plan. In my church that I serve in Millington, I have a retired man. We don't have very many retired people at Fellowship. But I have one retired man who wanted so desperately to do something at the church. He wasn't a very good teacher. He couldn't pray. He can't read the scripture very well. He wouldn't really make a good deacon. He's not really a very good usher. And we struggled and we struggled and we struggled to find that place of service that would be uniquely his. One day I went to the study to do some work, and as I came around the corner, and there in the middle of the church lot stood this gentleman with his head shears going just as fast as they could go, and he was shaping and trimming and beautifying that shrubbery. We have no one else in our church who can trim shrubbery like he can. We have no one else who can beautify our property and thereby speak of our love for God in his house like he can. A simple task, but a unique contribution to the life of the church. God thinks that we're unique enough that he willingly gave his own son, that you and I might grow into the full potential and develop into everything we need to be in that uniqueness. I believe also that you're special because you have something to give to other people that no one else has. There are things that you and I can normally think of. There are churches we can pastor and choirs we can direct. There are hospital visits that we can make. There are prayers that we can offer. There is the task of being a parent. There is the task of helping in the community. And there are many things that all of us can do. But you possess some qualities, and you can do some things that I can't do and no one else can do. You can give yourself. You can give yourself in a ministry of presence in a world that's crying for someone to lead them. 3 or 4 years ago, a young man in my congregation that I was very close to had worked very hard to help him find his faith, died very suddenly. He left a wife and 3 daughters. And I remember going to, well, I rode in the ambulance to the hospital with his wife, with Bill in the back. And I remember going to the home after leaving the hospital and where he was pronounced dead. And as I approached the driveway of this home, I thought to myself, what can I say? What can I offer to this family? Because I felt so very deeply and very personally his loss. And over the next 2 days, as we made preparation for the funeral and then finally had the service and the family went back to their home, I remember saying very little to this family. But I do remember the night before the funeral, standing in the funeral home beside this young widow, and my wife was there. And I stood hour after hour with my hand on her shoulder. I felt the need of standing near. Many months after the funeral, this young widow came to our home for dinner. And she said to my wife and I, of everything that took place when we lost Bill, the greatest thing that we appreciated the most was the fact that you were there. And I learned very deeply the lesson of a ministry of presence. It's not so much what we say or what we do. It's what we represent. And you have a unique ministry of presence that makes you special, that no one else can offer. You have love that you can give, that no one else can give. You have a smile that can brighten someone's day and bring them peace of mind and a spirit of acceptance. Many people go through life never aware of their hidden qualities of personality that are in reality a ministry. I believe you are special because you are unique. No one else is quite like you. I believe that you are special because you have something to give which no one else can give. And then I believe you are special because of what you can be. One of the joys of my time here at the seminary was coming into this chapel for the very first time. I remember coming in that door and finding a seat on the very last pew that I was allowed to sit on. And I was afraid to move for fear I would disturb something in here. I had never seen anything quite so beautiful in my life. And I remember the feeling that came over me as an emotion welled up in me and tears began to come out of my eyes. As I realized for the first time in my entire life, I really felt like I was where I really belonged. And then from that very meager beginning, it began to dawn on me that the function of this seminary was to help my fellow students and myself become everything we ought to be. And it is that growth for potential. It is that reaching forth to what we can be that makes us unique. I have discovered many things about myself in the last 4 years. I've discovered a lot of weaknesses that I thought were strengths. And I have discovered a lot of strengths that I thought were weaknesses. And I believe you are special because of what you can be, of the contribution that you have the potential to make. And I believe that God intends for our lives to be full. That we are to live an abundant life. There are many things that come our way in life that keep us from being everything we ought to be and we need to be. Some of us have bruised personalities. I wrote on a paper last fall in one of my colloquiums that I was a bruised pilgrim. And when I got the paper back from my professor, he had written in red, "Any broken bones, pilgrim?" And I have discovered that sometimes we are bruised and broken and crushed. And this keeps us from being what we need to be. Sometimes heartaches and sorrows and family needs and school loads and church demands and financial strains. Sometimes we have to learn our own physical limitations. But in spite of all of these limitations, in spite of all of these negative factors, there lies within you a potential to be. There lies within you the ability to grow. I believe that God is committed to helping us be our best. And because we have the potential of being the best we can, we are someone special. As you journey through your pilgrimage in the seminary, I hope that you will discover your specialness. I hope that you will discover that you are uniquely your own. And that God intends for you to develop every strength, every quality for being and living that you possess. Let us pray. Holy Father, we thank you for the extravagance of our own uniqueness. We thank you for the potential that we have and for the strength we possess. We confess, Lord, our humanness and its weaknesses and limitations. We thank you for this seminary and the convention and churches which provide it. We thank you for those who labor here in love and give a ministry a life long that we might grow and develop to be that special someone that you have in mind for us. Help us to find ourselves, Lord, in the beauty of a bird's song, in the thrill of a child's giggle, in the loveliness of the sunset. Help us to realize that we too are your special creations.